Day 8. Pray for the Spirit on all Christian workers. Quote, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
Yeah, by the means of many persons praying for us. What does it say after that?
Thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
Yeah, because if you're praying for the Christian workers, then that the Holy Spirit will rest upon them and move them and deal and lead them in the ministry. Well, then many people will be thanking God and for the work that the Holy Spirit did through them. Okay, so go ahead and read it again.
Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the
us meaning everybody in the ministry. And what? Because Paul's putting himself on the same level as everybody in the ministry, because he always preaches that we're one body, the body of Christ. So this he does to encourage every other Christian that it's not, he's not somebody other than a member of the body of Christ, that everyone should think of themselves as being a meaningful member of the body of Christ, because if when you are, there's no telling what God's going to do through you if you're being led by the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
So it's not him or me, or it's us. Us. We're the body. We're the actual church of God. We're the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem has many stones in it, not just one, right? Okay. So does that encourage you?
Yes.
Amen. So it's important that you read the meaning. When you're reading, you know the meaning of what you're reading. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now read it again.
Ye also helping together by prayer.
Together
for
us. With all of us, by praying. How do we help him? By praying for us, the whole body, okay? For everyone in the ministry. That's how you help. Oh gosh, anyone can help then, right?
Yeah.
Unless the devil has paralyzed you by making you disbelieve the scriptures. He's paralyzed your tongue. Read it again.
Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us.
For the gift bestowed not upon me, but us.
That for the gift bestowed upon us.
Okay, what is the gift bestowed upon us? Well, don't we have the gift of eternal life? Don't we have the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Right, the power from on high. That's what we're praying for us, that the Spirit will rest upon us. Us, not just me, okay? Sometimes Paul says, pray for me because I'm in a bad situation over here or something. But it's for us, all of us, that we are in union together in the bonds of love, the Spirit of God. Okay, read it again.
That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many.
See, by many persons, the Holy Spirit is resting upon us because of many persons praying for us. That there are many people will be thankful to God and thankful for the prayers that had caused the Holy Spirit to rest upon all of us. Because we're not going to see the manifestation of the Jewel's army and the fast work that the Lord is talking about, or in the Holy Spirit speaks of in the last days, unless we're in one bonded together in love in one body, that we all think the same way, that we not all have different attitudes and that we're going this way and that way, but that we're all focused on the Lord and that we're all focused on doing what the scripture says, pray for one another. That the Spirit, the gift of God, which is the promise of the Father, rests upon us, the Spirit of God, and in us, and dispenses himself through us. So that many people will be thankful to God and praise him and give glory unto the Lord. Okay, then what?
thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
Yeah, on our behalf, not my behalf. All of us together, our behalf. Like when you're praying for all the ministers in the world, you're actually a partner in their ministry. When you're praying for this ministry, you're a partner. I mean, co-partner, co-owner of the whole ministry. That's why I like praying for all the ministers of the world and all the workers, because I want to be partners with all of them. Whatever they reap, I want to reap too. People say, well, how can you keep feeding these other ministers? They're just robbing you blind. No, they're not. I want them to be fruitful and multiply. I want to be partners in their ministry with them. Because if I'm giving them something that I got from the Lord, and they have maybe millions of followers with their television programs, I'm their partner. They don't maybe know that it's, you know, they may know that I'm giving them the message, and they know I'm their partner because I gave them a boost that day. They may have been really down, didn't know what to preach or anything, and then they read something in my message, and pow, that's it. That's why I'm going to do it, but I'm going to give it a different flavor, but I'm going to hone in on it like that. I'm going to use the words that the Holy Spirit gives me rather than His words completely. But I'm going to, I feel like really, you know, inspired from whatever the Lord gave him or us. Because of your prayers, the Lord anoints the writers and the preachers and the teachers and the prophets, and you're partners with every one of them. So if you're praying for Kenneth Copeland's ministry, that, you know, and these other ministers, well, they're with the Catholic Church. We'll pray that the Holy Spirit will tell them, you know, that you're of the good, and this is not the right thing to do, and get out of it, you know. Don't say, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to talk to them or anything like that. But don't necessarily pray for them. Pray for every ministry that you don't even know, you never even heard of before. Pray for the whole body of Christ, because there's some real good workers out there. There's a tremendous cloud of beautiful testimonies. We just saw Mr. T on, you know, I just got saved not too long ago. And this woman, she, both of them were brought down to death's door. T has cancer. He said, man, that woke him up. That he, you know, anything that he does on this side of eternity doesn't mean anything. He said, I don't want to do movies. I don't want to talk about movies or my TV series when I go on television. And this other woman, she was into pornography and all kinds of filth and dirty films and stuff. She says, I don't want to see that anymore. The Lord brought me down, told me, she says, both of my kidneys had to be removed. And she says, I was dying. She said, the Lord told me I had 3 days to live. And she said, I started weeping bitterly before him because I knew I was going to go to hell. She said, I did every filthy thing there is in the world. And she did it on tape. And she said, I wasn't broke. A lot of people get saved when they're broke. She says, because they're broke, but not me. She said, I had 7 motion picture contracts. And she says, boy, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want anymore. That's the same way I felt about when I had the Beatles album. And I was asked to do the promotion for the Beatles, to be their manager. And their manager of the Rolling Stones. And so they knew my name was Tony 50% Alamo. And I mean, half of whatever they made, and it was billions, would be mine. And they're still rated number one today in the secular world, which I want no part of. Because I own a Beatles album there. I won't even release that. It's worth, because they are so number one, they're over their Stones, every album that's ever been cut. And I won't put it out. And I've been told it's worth, you know, some people say hundreds of millions. Some of them say it's worth 100 millions. I want to know that my money comes from the Lord. Amen. I want to know that, you know, if the Lord, when the Lord tells me, don't get involved with that, then I don't get involved with it. Because I don't want to, you know, think, oh, the record business is the thing to be in. Because it's not. And I have, after 36 years of owning this master, these masters of other singers and everything, I have not put them out. And I feel just even more strong about that today than I did then. It's when the Lord came and told me, or you'll surely die. I believed him. You better straighten out or you will surely die. The scripture says, if you're sinning, you're surely going to die. Your spirit is going to die and go to hell. And so it's important to pray for those that are weak, for those that are sickly, for those that are, you think they're in sin, and they just got too much pride to admit it because they don't want to be broken so that the Holy Spirit can get in there. Pray that God will crack them right down the middle. Just break them. Break their stupid pride. This girl last night that said she was praying after she got saved that God would give her a kidney. She wanted a kidney transplant because both of them were shot. And it's amazing all that she's been through. She looks beautiful, doesn't she?
Yes.
She looked very beautiful. And she was a black woman. But she didn't look black. But she was, she says, you know, all the different persecution because I'm black. But this woman was praying for a kidney, and they says, we're sorry, you know, you can't get one for 4 years. And so she figured she was just going to die, and she started praying for one, and 2 weeks later she got one. Somebody donated a kidney to her, and they put it in her, and it saved her life. But God took her and right down to death's door. And Mr. T says, well, you know, the doctor says I got cancer. He says, I'm not as strong as I used to be. He said, but, I mean, this is, I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit on me because I pray for the people of the Lord, you know. And that was the best testimonies. I mean, it was just solid. It was just like you were sitting in one of our services or something. You know, it was beautiful. Of these, Kenneth Copeland and Creplo Dollar, and I'd never felt that in them before, and they were like preaching with authority. They, you know, with authority and power of the Holy Spirit, and they were right on. And you know, that just makes you glory every time when you see the manifestation of your prayers being answered. You glory in all these ministries that you prayed for because you're partners with them. And you know that the Holy Spirit is working through them and they're winning souls. And you're partners in that. And you're rewarded for that in the kingdom of heaven. Just the same way as you're rewarded adversely if you're tempting people to sin and you're living that sort of life, evil life, if you're listening to evil spirits. So we pray that the evil spirits will go away from people that are weak and you see them sinning and this manifest, they manifest themselves as being led by evil spirits because they lie and they lust and all these things, so you pray for them. That God will start getting a hold of them so that this, the Holy Spirit is very powerful. Full of life. It's the only life that we have, that anyone has in the universe, to be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit combined that can move an entire jury to say, not guilty. I've seen that. I lived that through. I mean, I'm experienced with that. I mean, if you make promises to God, devout promises, and He knows you're going to keep your promises. Okay, then you go. We didn't make it through the scripture yet. Not even.
Yeah, we did.
We finished. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, that was 2 Corinthians 1:11.
2 Corinthians 1:11.
When multitudes of workers in connection with our churches and missions, our railways and postmen, our soldiers and sailors, truckers, airmen, our young men and young women, our fallen men and women, our poor, our rich, our sick and feeble, God be praised for this.
Yes, because God be praised when we pray for them. The Holy Spirit anoints them and they become saved and carriers. And when we, all of us as one, all these different people, we have God's Joel's armies. We've got like an army, a navy, a marines, an air force. We have fallen people that we need to pray for. But if they start praying for others and they're showing mercy, and with all these together praying, what a change it's going to make in the entire world. Because this has not been done, you see how that Satan has overrun the world. Because God's not going to make a move until he hears an utterance from you to make the point. Okay, then go ahead.
What could they accomplish if each were living in the fullness?
What greatness they could accomplish if they were all what?
Living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
The fullness of the Holy Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit. If everyone was living in the fullness of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit, what confidence you would have to go before the throne. And what a tremendous way the world would be changed for the glory of God. To them what?
Pray for them. It makes you a partner in their work.
And yes, when you pray for everybody that's in the ministry, that means, my God, you're partners with everybody. Wouldn't you like to have partnership own half of AT&T?
Yes.
Wouldn't you love to own one half of Pillsbury Mills, the telephone company, all over the world?
Yeah.
Well, this is greater than that. Way greater. Amen?
Amen.
Because this is the phone. You can dial the Lord. It's toll free. Amen?
Amen.
And you can talk to him all the time. He's never busy. Even though he's busy, he's never too busy to talk to you, okay? Or to listen to you. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't cost a dime. Doesn't even cost a penny. And you can pray for everybody in the world, you know, that their sinners would be saved too. Then that's mercy. You're going to receive mercy for doing it, all right? Because it's a commandment. Okay, then what?
Pray for them. It makes you a partner in their work, and you will praise God each time you hear of blessing everywhere.
Yeah, every time you turn on television, if you see somebody that you know wasn't preaching right before, and they're preaching right now, and you can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them, you can praise the Lord everywhere. I mean, another one you hear over here, one over there, you just say, praise the Lord. You thank God for answering your prayers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then what? Because you're partners. For sure. The Bible says so. We're all one body, aren't we?
Amen.
Okay, if you go to the zoo, with your feet takes you there, but doesn't your arm go too?
Yeah.
Right. Every part of you goes. So all of you are partaking, your whole body, the whole body of Christ is partaking in everything that Christ owns, you own too. It says it in the Bible. We're heirs and joint heirs of everything that he has. Everything that God owns, you own too. That's why I guess I was in the vision strutting around in the kingdom of heaven. Like, I thought, God, I look puffed up, you know. It's not puffed up, it's just you know what you've got, you know. And the Lord wants you to know what you've got. He wants you to know. He wants you to be, thank him for what you've got. And he wants you to, like that Creflo Dollar, I mean, I never heard him preach so good. He says, here, some people, he said, you know, they just get up there and say, oh, God, I'm just such a rag. I'm just a filthy, stinking rag. I'm just so humble. He said, that is for the most egotistical weasel in the world, because they're doing that as a show in front of people to make them think that they're humble. But God hates that because he wants you to know that you're a child of God, not some stinking rag. Right?
Amen.
And that you're co-owners of everything that he has. And the Apostle Paul, when there was a bunch of defectors in the church, he started expounding on that he was led by the Holy Spirit, and he was telling everybody in there, and that in his weakness, God's power and strength is there. And just because of the fact that he's seemingly weak to the body, to the different defectors that fell away from the body, he says, nevertheless, I'm powerful in God. God's Spirit is powerful in me. So he was vindicating the things that the defectors and the weasels in the church were saying about him. He says, nevertheless, the manifestation of God is in me and in me mightily, okay?
Amen.
So people that are falling away in the church, they'll bring every kind of accusation. They just sit back. They're like the watchers. The watchers that Enoch talks about in his book. Where, you know, he says they're like the fallen angels. They don't do anything, but they just look and bring accusations against such dignities as the Apostle Paul, against Jesus himself, because they don't please their flesh. They tell them what they have to do in order to be saved. Amen?
Yeah.
If you want mercy, you have to have mercy on everybody else. Because when the Holy Spirit is anointing people, they're going to be in heaven if they continue on to the end. Right? Okay, then what?
How to pray with definite petitions.
With a definite. Lord, you're praying definitely for this. Okay? Go ahead.
Quote, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee?
This is what Jesus was saying.
Luke 18:41.
To the man. He knew what the man wanted. Lord, that I should receive my sight. But the man, when he uttered the words, you know, that my sight, I want my sight, he had to pray to him, right? He had to make his request known. It was a definite request. Lord, that I might see, all right? Well, then that's the point. In order to get the answer, okay? You have to make the point across to the Lord in order to get the answer. Read that back.
What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?
If you're possessed with the devil and you want the devils out of you, make your point clear to the Lord. Lord, cast these devils out of me. Because God can do it, okay? Amen. If you don't feel the Spirit, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, cast these devils out of me. These demons that I can't do anything about it. I keep trying to think of how to get out of this thing, but our carnal thinking is no good. You have to trust the Lord. You have to believe His word. Ask and you'll receive. Amen?
Amen.
It's not by sight or by your own strength. As Paul was weak because he was got to the point to where he knew he wasn't able to do these things that the Lord was requiring for him to do. And the Lord had deprived him of sight. He had bad eyes because when the scales fell off of his eyes, he just couldn't see good after that. And so he sought the Lord three times to give him sight. And the Lord wouldn't do it because he wanted a constant reminder of him that it's better that he should have spiritual insight, spiritual sight, rather than the ability to be able to see with his natural eyes. He said God told him that his grace was sufficient. So Paul found out that sufficiency is in the Spirit of the Lord. All you need is sufficiency, God's sufficiency to get into heaven. You don't need any other sufficiency. You certainly don't need to try to figure things out with your carnal mind because that your carnal mind is not able to discern how to do spiritual things. You must rely on the Word of God by faith. And use no other discernment than that, or let your carnal brain explain away the things that the Lord is saying that you must do in order to have eternal life. You must have faith in what the Lord is saying to do. You have to let the Holy Spirit lead you into all righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Through the Word of God. Okay, then what?
The Lord knew what the man wanted, and yet he asked him.
Yeah, he asked him so that the guy could utter his request. Okay, then go ahead.
The utterance of our wish, given in prayer, gives point to the transaction in which we are engaged with God.
Right. God wants you to make a point, a definite point, with Him as to what you want. So that you can know, and so that by the utterance of it, it also opens up faith. Read it again.
The utterance of our wish, given in prayer, gives point to the transaction in which we are engaged with God, and so awakens faith and expectation.
Right. When you're asking God something, when you utter it, well, you know, wow, I mean, I can feel the Spirit through it, and it gives you faith. And when you have the faith, then you're going to expect what you are going to receive. If you're just keeping silent and and thinking that you're being cool. This is a worldly attitude that doesn't hold any water. Your attitude is worth nothing but dung. It's the spirit that gives life, not carnality. To be carnal is death. To trust the Lord is by faith. You're saved by faith. Our victory is faith in what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, leads and guides and anoints us with and gives us the gifts that we need and we want. And then what?
Be very definite in your petitions.
Yeah, be definite. Let him know what you need. You're not kidding him anyway. If you're possessed with the devil, as Legion was, you don't think that he knows that? Tell him, Lord, I know I'm possessed. I mean, there's definite demons here. And then he's going to give you instruction on what to do to get rid of them. And he'll say, okay, confess and repent. Oh, but Lord, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't have faith enough to be saved, to follow his principles, his instructions, his route to salvation. So you need to pray for faith then, okay? And for the Lord to destroy your wicked pride, or the wickedness of what you think may occur by doing what the Lord says. If you do what the Lord says, nothing bad will happen to you. Will it?
No.
Why would God instruct you to do something that would cause evil to happen to you? Okay, then what?
Be very definite in your petitions, so as to know what answer you may look for.
But we're talking about praying for the saints, praying for the workers, all the Christian workers in the world. Yesterday was praying for the ministers. Now the rest of the workers, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Just think of the great host of workers and ask and expect God to definitely bless them in answer to the prayers of his people. Then, still ask more definitely for workers around you. Intercession is not the breathing out of pious wishes. Its aim is in believing, persevering prayer to receive and bring down blessings.
Bring down blessings upon the Christian workers, the whole body of Christ, okay? Us. And all the other workers throughout the world. I was thrilled when I heard those testimonies. You know, I always am. I love to hear, and I'm not afraid to endorse people that are walking in the Spirit. I mean, I never endorsed Copeland or Creflo Dollar. But they sure brought a good message yesterday, both of them. That was right on. I didn't hear, see one flaw. And they were getting into some depth, you know. It just was marvelous to see, to witness. Okay? Praise the Lord. That was day 8. I'm going to do 1 through 30 so that every day, if you want, I would suggest it is to play one of the tapes after this series of 30. And that way it'll show you, it'll keep you in the Spirit praying and keep you the continuance of your partnership with other ministries, which is not others, it's the whole body of Christ and everything that the body does. But you can see there's people out there that are preaching the gospel. And if they're incorrectly preaching, pray that they'll do it correctly, okay? Don't run them into the ground. I just say, oh God, this is horrible what they're preaching. But you know, you pray, oh God, let them preach the right thing. Some of them are so debased, it's unbelievable. And they're preaching against the Holy Spirit. But I still keep sending tracts to them all and pray for them all, you know, that they're going to get on the right track, on the straight and narrow, that they're going to be led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit brings forth love, but the letter kills, and the Spirit brings forth life. And the Lord hates false prophecy, false prophets, and false prophecy is so. When you pray for them to be anointed by the Spirit, it won't be false anymore. The fear of the Lord comes upon. and that they'll start being led by the Holy Spirit. All right, praise the Lord.